Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate just the invitation, Philip. Philip was my first missions leader. And yeah, he's really a man that walks in authority. Hey? I remember just in the beginning our training for this mission trip and how he would come and he would lay hands on us. He'd lay hands on each member of the team and just pray for us. And the presence of God is so strong just through his ministry. And he's such an evangelist. And I know that you guys are so blessed to have him as your leader. So thanks, Philip, for the opportunity. I want to pray for us before we start, if that's okay. Father, we just stand in awe, Father, of who you are, and we know, Lord, that you come. Holy Spirit is a mighty rushing wind in our midst. You cannot be tamed. You cannot be even explained, but you come and you meet us and you encounter us and you reveal the face of Jesus to us. You reveal the Father. And as we encounter you, God, our lives cannot help but be transformed into the newness of heaven, Father, into the newness of what it looks like to be in your presence all the time, Father. And we thank you that we have access to you. Jesus, we acknowledge, Lord, that you paid for every sin and sickness and trauma and loss and torment for us so that we can be free and we can extend your rule on this earth. And so we just pray for our hearts to be open to receive what you have to say today. And we declare, Lord, over Pretoria, Father, that you are raising up a mighty army, Father, that will stand in the midst of persecution, Father, stand in the midst, Lord, of so many things that want to steal from the children of God. But Lord, we just know, God, it is you in us, Father, that is the hope of glory. And so we just say yes today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So my husband, Stefan, is at the back, and we have a son, Benjamin, who's 15 months old, and Caleb is on the way. This wasn't too much Sunday lunch. Breakfast then. We haven't had lunch yet. But I'm so thankful I am born, raised English. My fun is no kronia. So it het me eintlik verrassings, no, not verrassings, verskonings. But I heard that you guys preach in English, so I'm thankful that I could speak in English this morning. Wholeheartedly Free is a book that God gave me a vision of when I was 5 months pregnant. And at the time, I thought it would happen in 10 years' time because any new mom would know you don't have capacity for much else. But when Benjamin was 4 months old, the Lord said, it's time. And so I knew it was going to be by grace that this book was going to come to pass. And so I want to say that you have your reading books for this year. As Philip said, everyone else has come. So this book is actually an outreach tool. Okay, we have heard testimony after testimony of people, specifically in corporate space, in the workspace, Holy Spirit laying it on their hearts to buy the book for someone, not knowing why, and God just coming through in that situation. You know, sometimes someone goes through something and you can't relate. You've never really experienced it with depression or something like that, but you have someone so close to you, a family member, a colleague or someone, and your heart breaks to them, but you have no idea how to minister to them. They need to hear a testimony of what God has done for someone else, because that is the standard for who God is. If he's done it for someone else, he can do it for them as well. And just one or two testimonies. A girl came to me 2 weeks ago in church, and she said she'd just come back from mission. She was on fire, ready. You know, after you come back from missions, you're just willing to, you want to see everyone saved. And her cousin had come and spent the December holiday with her. And this cousin sort of surprised her and said, so I've been thinking about it, and I've decided to convert to Islam. And she was sort of a bit shocked by this and thought, where does this come from? You know, this girl said she's a Christian. Anyway, and she just felt God saying, love her. Don't say anything, just love her. And she was praying in that time, and a week later, this cousin comes to her and says, I finished my book, do you have anything to read? I saw you were reading something, and it was Wholeheartedly Free. And so she says, well, you know, she says, can I read it? So she says, more than welcome, here we go, it doesn't say much. And after a few days, this cousin comes back, and she's read a few testimonies that are in the book, and she says, do you know what, I actually cannot deny the power of Jesus. And there's no way I can turn away from him. And I just thought, wow. I was like, God, you can do so much. And so the testimonies are not salvation testimonies. They are theme-specific: depression, fear and anxiety, shame, addiction, adoption, trauma, sickness, loss. And so I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit if there's someone that you need to buy the book for. If you want to buy it first, read it, and then pass it on, that's also great. This was an act of obedience, and the Lord said we need to get his word out. He said, if you're going to start, he said to me when he gave the vision, if you will start taking seriously what I am able to do amongst the everyday person, I can start pouring out more of my spirit. I can start pouring out more of my power. So that's just the book. It will be sold at the back. You can purchase it via SnapScan, cash, or EFT. It's 200 Rand. If you're a student, 150. Is it anyone's birthday here today? Anyone's birthday? No. Okay. On Thursday. Whose birthday's on Thursday? Okay. Here we go. Happy birthday. Enjoy. Bless you for the year. Okay. I'm here to share about the power of your story and trusting God to unlock a boldness and a desire and a passion for you to overflow with the goodness and testimonies of God, that the people around you cannot help but desire what it is that you have. So I know that God wants to heal hearts today. He wants to deliver people. He wants to release resources and provision for things that you've been trusting him for. But it's going to depend on the degree to which you are willing to touch that garment, just like Dorette said. Are you willing to open up your heart to encounter, just as that word came for the offering, like Moses did, a face-to-face encounter with God. And so before I share, I want to ask Bianca. She wrote her story for the book. And just release testimony. She's got such an amazing testimony of what God did for them. So let's open up our hearts and let's just say thank you for sharing. Well, thank you. So
you saw that the doctors told us about 5 years ago that there's no way that we will ever have kids of our own. So I'm going to track back a little further to where it all started. My husband and I lived in London for a couple of years, and in 2011 we felt God calling us back to South Africa. Jakub, Prince, and Erna, they were actually the pastors there at the time. So when Jaku prayed for us and sent us back to South Africa, he said he felt God saying that there's going to be many tears waiting for us in South Africa, and it's going to be a difficult time. But he encouraged us by saying that he also feels God saying that we will have many children. And so we went trying to have kids at the time, so we just sort of parked that and came back. So we were faced with many trials and obstacles back in South Africa, and it was actually a very difficult time. Our marriage was tested by fire. We experienced financial blow after financial blow. The job that my husband came back for wasn't great. We couldn't even cover our grocery bills, never mind our rent. So we had to rely on people. And on top of that, our car broke down, and we just had to trust in God. And I started blaming him for everything that happened, and it was just mistrust, and wasn't great. But God proved himself faithful in every trial that we went through. I remember asking God, why isn't it if you're calling us back, if you called us back, why isn't stuff working out, and why is it so hard? And I felt him saying that, I'm not here for your comfort. And he didn't mean it in a mean way. He just said, I will allow you to go through the fire because I can see what will be produced in your life if you go through it. And I will allow you to go through that because I can see what you will become. And so his grace enabled us to stand and to move further. We decided to, it's time to have kids. So I went to a gynecologist and he told me that I had polycystic ovarian syndrome, which basically means I don't ovulate every month. And he said it's fine. He's treated many women who with the same problem, so it's not impossible to get pregnant, but I shouldn't expect to be pregnant before February 2013 at the time. So we decided to go for a second opinion. I went to a fertility specialist, and he confirmed what the previous gynecologist said. He also advised us that my husband get tested just to make sure that everything is okay with him. He went for the tests, and the doctor actually personally phoned me and said, your husband has a very, very big problem. In a normal sperm count, there's 10 million sperm, and your husband has one or two, and not 1 or 2 million, just 1 or 2, and they're not moving. So it's actually impossible that you will ever have children. After the doctor's report, my husband and I we burst out laughing, not just because we have seen God's faithfulness in everything, in every trial beforehand, that we could not be shaken by a doctor's report. And we further just remembered the word that God spoken over us back in London through Yaku, who said that we will have children. And we chose to believe that the word that God speaks over us overrides the natural, and he's able to do what he says he can, even though the natural circumstances tells us that it's impossible. So, and I know that God uses doctors and medicine in many instances, but we felt God saying that in this instance, he wants to perform the miracle in his way. And so we knew it was the end of the line with medicine for us. I started in faith eating as though I was pregnant, so no raw meats, no alcohol, no nothing. And we prayed regularly together, we took communion, anointed one another, and we also we included people in our journey to pray with us, and we worshiped God together. And 7 months later, the same day I got there, because we went, Avanay went to a urologist just to get a second opinion, and he also confirmed what this fertility specialist said, and he delayed his report. But on the same day I got the report from the urologist saying that there's no way we will have children, I found out I was pregnant. And I went back to the fertility specialist. He actually said to me, my body is actually probably mimicking all the symptoms of pregnancy because I desire it so much, and your body can actually do that. He didn't believe me. And so he checked, and his first words were, this child is directly from above. And my daughter is sitting at the back. She's 3.5 years old. And And later we decided to trust God for another miracle. I started doing the same thing. So in faith, I ate correctly. And every time I tried to do that, God would say to me that previously it was done in faith. Now it's performance driven. Now you're trying to do something to earn a reward. And he gave me a revelation of his goodness, and that he wants to give us more children, but it will be out of His grace. It will not be, I will not perform something to earn a reward. It will be from His grace. And so my son is at the back as well, 17 months old. God is good. And so I want to encourage you. So I want to encourage you, if you face an impossible situation, just believe who God is. Believe in Him. Pull on His garment. Ask Him for His kingdom to become a reality in your life. And if you are facing an impossible situation, I would like to pray with you afterwards.
Amen. Oh, I've heard that testimony I don't know how many times, but every time I'm just like, God, You are so good. And that revelation is so important. He's good. I want you to just say, God is good. God is good. Let's add, He's in a good mood. He's in a good mood. I remember my sister saying to me, at a stage in my life where I'd been saved for 12, 13 years, and I had seen God move. I had seen Him heal. I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. I was baptized. I was in leadership in the church. But there was this desire in me for more. I don't know if any of you can relate that you have this desire within you to see God, to encounter Him, to not live a life where you just do the mediocre things and you walk and you are faithful Christian, but you're not experiencing the power of God in your life. And I believe God is on the edge of entering into the promised land, where He wants to bring promotion. He wants to release resources. He wants to reveal Himself. He wants to bring salvation. But He is preparing our hearts, because just like it says in Psalm 103, He revealed His way, He revealed His ways to Moses, but His acts to the Israelites. And there's a difference between an act. It's how to perform something. Whereas if it's the way of someone, it's their heart, it's their intimacy. Why do they do the things they do? What is the motivation behind the things that they do? And God is calling a people that will be intimate with Him, that will desire to see His kingdom come and desire to know Him in an intimate way. Because we enter into that promised land. So often we seek God for the platform, we seek Him for the status, for the promotion, for the promise, whatever it might be. But He wants us to know who He is in the midst of giving that to us. And so I went on this journey, and I remember I was at a missions training school in Brazil, and I had this longing in me for water. You know, a pregnant woman, you are so thirsty. Last night, my husband and I went out for dinner. I was like, I cannot talk to you until I have a glass of water. I'm so thirsty. And I was like, spiritually, sometimes we are so thirsty. And do not deny that thirst, but to call out to God in the midst of that thirst. And I arrived there, and I said to them, I really have a desire for it to rain. And this girl that lives in Brazil said, it doesn't really rain in January, but great, you know, great for your desire. And so it was hot and it was humid, and I just was like, God, I want rain. And I remember the one night, everyone had gone to bed, and I was also in bed, and then I got out and I went to sit on the edge of this field, and I started calling out to God, and I started saying, Lord, I want to see Your rain. I want to experience rain. I want You to rain upon us. And I just, there was this like moment, you know, it was like this movie, you know, that person like Simba crying out, ah, you know, to the Father up in these clouds, and there's lightning. I felt like it was a movie scene. And I saw this little like thunderbolts, you know, in the far distance, and this light, well, I heard the thunder and saw the lightning. And I realized that what I was desiring, I was desiring rain, but I was actually just desiring more of the Holy Spirit. I was actually just saying, Father, come and pour out more of Your Holy Spirit. And it started to drizzle. But it was, you know, a light drizzle. And I went, I was like, God, that's not good enough. I want it to rain. I want to experience your spirit upon me to overflow, that people around me and people that come into sort of encounter with me experience your presence. That my life isn't just one, that my story isn't just one, that at the end of the day, you know, I can say, tick for God, I did all the things I was meant to do. But that I can say, people encountered the glory of God. They encountered him when they encountered me. And I thought, okay, can I be praying this? Is this not for the Smith Wigglesworth and the John G. Lakes and the big guys of the faith? And God was just saying, he gives out his spirit to the degree to which we call out to him. There is enough to go around. There's enough anointing and giftings and promotions and status and CEOs and mothers and children and anything that you desire to see, anything that you dream about, God is wanting to give. And the next day, it started raining, and it didn't stop raining for 3 days. It was pouring. And everyone was like, because we were stuck inside, and it was muddy, and it was, you know, and it was like, who's this person? Where? Who prayed for rain? Did anyone pray for rain? I was like, but there was just this, it was just this desire for more. And so I want to share with you the power of your story, that each one of you uniquely has a message. Each one of you carries a message inside of you that is going to bring glory to God. Okay, so let's start. I'm just going to go straight in there. Revelations 12, verse 10 and 11. I don't have a PowerPoint slide today because it was scrapped by God, and he gave me, he just wanted to add some things, shift around the message a little bit. So Revelations 12, I'm talking about the power of your story, but what I'm actually talking about is the power of testimony. So your testimony is not just something that happens for me 13 years ago when I gave my life to Jesus. The power of testimony is, a testimony in court is a written or spoken account of something that you have seen. So I want to say testimony is, what is your account of Jesus? Okay, what does it look like to encounter him and give an account of seeing Jesus? The disciples walked with Jesus. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those words, these books that we have, is really their account of Jesus. It's what they saw. It's what they experienced. And we have that same, we have the same gift, we have the same freedom, we have the same opportunity to give an account of Jesus. Okay, so testimony, Revelations 12. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, okay, accuser is present, who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So it says that the devil, the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren, is accusing. It's a present tense. But it says that they overcame him. So that's past tense. So do you understand that it has already been provided for on the cross? God has already provided everything that we need to come against the lies of the enemy. And so it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. It's not an or. It's not, well, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, or we could share the word of our testimony, or it's and. And as I read this, I just thought, Father, the blood of the Lamb is the ultimate. I mean, that is powerful. That is the foundation of our salvation. And you are saying, and the word of their testimony. Do we understand? Do we know that how powerful testimony is? Living a life of constant testimony, constant outflow, constant accounts of who God is. So when we are sharing testimony with people, when you're sharing what God has done in your life and who he is, it's an overflow of your heart. Our motivation for sharing testimony should not be, she needs to hear this, so I'm going to share this. Because they will not receive that as inclusive. People will receive that as judgment. But when you have a constant relationship with Jesus, and when you are walking with him, and I'm going to get into that just now, your heart is so overflowing with thanksgiving that you cannot help but talk about the goodness of God. And so when you are sharing on a specific theme, you don't know who your audience is. You don't know what accusations you are coming against as you share with them. You know, if I'm sharing about, I know even now recently, you know, there's a friend of mine that really struggles to know that God is the provider. And I didn't know what struggle she was going through, but I was just sharing testimony of who God is and how He provides and what was the journey of how He spoke to me through the process of providing. And I was coming against these accusations that the enemy had of God in her mind. And we also need to live a life of testimony because we remind ourselves of who God is. Because when God has done something before, that is the foundation at which we approach Him again. So if God has healed and you come across someone with struggling with healing, or you come across a physical ailment again, you have a platform, a foundation to say, well, God has healed before, why will He not do it again? You understand? So it's this building up of the account of who God is in your life. Okay. So now we're going to just look at that. Why do we need that? So that was just about why to share testimony. Why do we need a living relationship with God where He looks at us and He just comes and pours out more of His Spirit inside of us, and He gives us that revelation of Jesus, and we can pour out more inside of Him. But how? Okay. Like I said, the disciples walked with Jesus. They saw Him face to face. They saw Him. They knew what He was doing. And we see in John 16, verse 13, Jesus says, I had to go so that I could send my helper. I could send the Spirit. And it says in I think 15, it says, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Okay? Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit points towards Jesus. And so there's a relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit that in every moment we can call out and we can say, but Holy Spirit, who is Jesus in this moment? Okay? Who is He? What does He look like? Okay. So it's that constantly calling out for more. It's like that when I was calling out for the rain, I was saying, Father, I want to encounter You. I want to see. I want to know. And this isn't my first being filled with the Holy Spirit. This was being saved for 13 years and walking with God, but God just placing a desire within me for more. So, I just want to go to Luke 11, where it's a model prayer, and I'm not going to read everything, but He says, our Father in heaven, the disciples ask, how should you pray? And He responds, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We were talking about the kingdom earlier. The kingdom is the king's domain. And God is calling out. He just showed me over Pretoria that there is an army that He's raising up, but there's an imbalance of soldiers. There's too few generals and too few people. He wants to promote you guys in the Spirit. There are people in this audience that have got anointings and giftings and talents that you need to be bringing, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your workplace, that the enemy has been keeping you in depression, or he's been keeping you in unworthiness and failure, constant fear of disappointment. You don't want to put your faith out there because what if you get disappointed? Okay? And God is going to come and release you to have a desire and a yearning inside of you to go, Father, Your kingdom come. Our assignment on earth is to bring the glory of God. We so often ask the question, what is my calling? Everyone's calling is to glorify the Father. We are all called to, in every moment, in everything that you do, bring glory to the Father. And whatever that looks like, that's secondary. I know for myself, I was so steadfast on, this is what I'm called for. And anything outside of that, I was not willing to do. And I used to say, I don't have a gift to pray for healing. Okay? I'm prophetic. So I pray for people and God shows me words and I pray. Do you know how I'm limiting God in that? I'm saying this is the degree to which I'm going to limit you. Last week I was we were going for a gynae checkup, and I was sitting there and this woman walked in. She looked like death warmed up. She was, I felt my heart of compassion for her. I could see she's pregnant. I'm pregnant. You just have, you know, when you have compassion for some people and you just, you know, God wants to meet them. And that's the nice thing about being, you know, married, or even if you have a close friend, tell them immediately if God is asking you to do something, because you can't get out of it. You know, so I said to my husband, I need to pray for that woman. But there was a room full of people coming, and I thought, how am I going to do this? And, you know, I'm not sure what her problem is, and I don't want to expose her. And I just said, Father, I want to pray for her. The next moment, the nurse next to her says, I'm just going to take her into the room next door so she can lie down. I thought, thank you, Lord, that's my opportunity. And I went in, and she just said she has really bad anemia. And, and the baby's okay, but she's just really struggling. She's tired and all this. Anyway, I start praying for her, and this is a new thing for me again, praying for healing. And God just comes, and he meets her, and I know she's experiencing the presence of God. I'm experiencing the presence. The nurse says to me, can I pray for her? But you sort of walk away, and you think, okay, you don't know what's happened there. And I went to go sit down, and she had to go in for her checkup before us. And as she's being rolled out after her checkup, I hear the doctor on the phone saying, she came in saying that she has anemia, but I've done checks, I've done tests, I can't see anything. You know, I can't pick up any anemia, I'm going to do more checks. And I thought, oh my word. I said to my husband, I was like, did you hear that? You know, you still get so surprised, but God is wanting to invade our situation. And he's saying, to what degree will you extend the rule of my kingdom? Okay, so if he's a king, he's not a king that is struggling with power and authority. He's a servant king. He did not come to be served, but to serve. So he says, come to me. Everything that you need, any resource, any faith, any identity issue, I have it. Come to me and let me pour out what it is that you need. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when you get into a situation, I feel like God is saying to you, he's not intimidated by where you're at. He's not intimidated by the difficult situation that you're in. He's not surprised. He's not confused. But he is waiting for you. Like that woman with the flow of blood that says, I need what you have. That woman pressed through no matter what the crowd was. She said, I need an encounter with you. And so God is saying, will you call down my kingdom in the midst of your situation? That what it is in heaven, without sin, without sickness, without torment, without fear, can be in the situation wherever you are at. But all it requires, it doesn't require these huge spiritual prayers or degrees in theology. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And I have seen that God responds to a heart that is willing to acknowledge him. When you are in a situation and you are faced with family difficulty, or there's a lost child, someone struggled in drugs, or you are facing a very difficult situation at work, we need to stop and listen. We need to stop and we need to say, God, what does your kingdom look like in this situation? Holy Spirit, come and show me Jesus. Back to that Luke 11, where it says the model prayer of the kingdom, let it be your kingdom come, your will be done. The scripture that follows on from that, I'm just going to paraphrase, is a guy that, I think I've got about 5 more minutes, eh? Okay. There's a guy that he goes to a friend and he knocks on the door, and it's the middle of the night, and he says, I need bread. The people that have come, I don't have bread. Will you give me bread? And the guy shouts back and says, it's the middle of the night. My kids are sleeping. What are you doing? And the guy stands and knocks. He says, I need bread. And it says, I say to you, though, he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend. Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And it then follows on to say, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. It then carries on and says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so I realized that 3 years ago, I had a very good relationship with the Father, and I had a good relationship with Jesus, but I was very immature in my relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've seen God move. My father left when I was 6 months old. When I was a teenager, he'd only phone me when he was drunk to say, use a condom. And I'm like, Dad, I'm 13. You know, don't do drugs. I had such a broken, wounded identity. But I learned to encounter the Father and just have Him pour out healing. And He gave me honor for shame. He gave me acceptance for rejection. But God was just saying, what I've given you and what I've poured out in you, I want you to start overflowing into the people around you. I don't want you to just be this well built up that has no outflow. I want you to start pouring out what it is that I have given you. And I'd seen glimpses of that before, but God was just really saying to me, will you call out to my spirit? In the moment and whatever you're facing, will you say, you know, Holy Spirit, even as a mom, you know, there's nothing like becoming more like Jesus than being a mom when your child does not want to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning and you've tried everything and you just get down on your knees and you're just like, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus in this moment. I need to see and encounter Jesus because I'm getting overwhelmed in this situation. And He comes and He's faithful every time. He reveals to you every step of the way. And so I want to say to you that what God has brought into your life, He's working for the good as a testimony. And the enemy will say to you, but you've been disappointed before, so why should you trust again? God's taking a bit long this time. Is He really going to come through for you? Okay? And in those moments, God wants us to be honest in our hearts, and He wants us to say, bring to me, what are those lies and accusations you're believing about me? And let me show you who Jesus is. Let me pour out who He is inside of you. Okay, so let's turn to the person and say, let's just say we're in a good kingdom. We're in a good kingdom. Okay, I want to finish up with this. And then I want to pray for people. You know, I last week I went to go share about the book in Bloemfontein, and there was a guy I don't know what the altar call was about. I was just saying a few things that people could come forward for prayer for. And there was this one guy that came forward. He was a Vrystaat boer, older guy. And God just started speaking to me about him. And I, in that moment, I didn't know who he was. You know, I mean, I've just arrived there. And I share this vision with him. I said, I see you have wheat in your hands and you're throwing up the wheat and you throw up a ton and it comes down 10 tons. And I just see how God is multiplying whatever it is that your hands are going to touch. And He's going to bring good fruit from what it is that you are sowing into. And this man just started weeping and weeping. And, you know, you don't really know what God is doing in the moment. And later on the day, we had lunch with the pastors. And the wife was standing behind him as I was praying. And she said, Lauren, he was a successful businessman in the food industry in Sandton. And he lost everything. And he's been doubting God, and he's been questioning whether God is able to come through for him. And here, I share this word with him, and I just thought, God, wow, how good are you to bring encouragement to a man that has faced failure that I don't know anything about, that he knows it is only God that could know that about him. And it's not the people up front, it's not the leaders, it's not the preaching people that God speaks to like that. It's every single person that is willing to listen. And there are people out there. I went to go and watch, who's watched the movie Lion? Anyone watch the movie Lion? Okay. Anyone watch the movie Hidden Figures? No. Okay. Basically, really awesome, powerful, moving movies. But it was just about people's stories. That's really, it's just someone's story. And so I just feel like, God is saying, don't underestimate your story. Don't underestimate what God is going to do through your story and through the role that you play in someone else's story as well. Okay. So we're going to finish off with Hebrews 12 that says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there's this account, there's this cloud of witnesses. Abraham with his beard, like Peter here in front, he's got this amazing beard, hey? Well done. Is it beard month or something like that? But no, just because. Okay. Or Moses with his staff, you know. And they're cheering us on. They're cheering each one of you on. You know, even this worship leader who's got such an anointed voice, you know, they're saying, be bold and strong and sing, you know. Sing because God is faithful. He wants to increase the platform that you are going to, the anointing of God as you sing is just so powerful. You know, trust God for more. He was faithful for us. He will be faithful for you. But then it goes on to say, fixing your eyes unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so I want to say that our identity, maybe you guys can come up. Our identity, so often we want to attach it to something on this earth. We want to say, I remember being the only English girl in Stellenbosch and all these, you know, you always see the people around you as you compare and you think, well, they've got everything together, you know, and they don't struggle with this and they, you know. And I was this slightly overweight English girl with no dad, you know, and I thought, which man would ever ask me to marry him, because first of all, he's got no dad to ask. You know, it's a very great tradition of asking the father. I must say, yeah, I have led I have had the honor of leading my dad to salvation. He got baptized in water and filled with the Holy Spirit and started praying in tongues, and God is reconciling our relationship. I know him and I are going to minister together, and he has blessed me to share my story. with you guys, because he knows, you know, that it was by God's grace, you know, that even him and I reconciled. But, you know, that our identity, even we say we come from Pretoria. I have confidence to say I come from Pretoria. I have confidence to say I come from Cape Town. I'm American. I'm Australian. I'm a chartered accountant. I'm one of four children. These things that are a part of who we are, but it's not who we are. And if we start seeking a kingdom, and if we start seeing the King and coming together in a church context around the Father, and not about what the doctrine, you know, necessarily, if we agree or not on doctrine, or whether we agree on culture differences, if we can realize that we are a part of a kingdom culture and not a, you know, this culture or that culture, then there's really going to be the power of unity amongst us, and the presence of God is just going to come and pour out over us. And my husband and I were talking in the movie last night. They're sitting in a circle, and they're saying, well, why have you come to do this course? And the one guy says, so the woman says, oh, well, you're obviously born in Australia. And he's like, well, actually, I'm born in India. And they say, well, what part of India? And he's like, I don't actually know. I'm adopted. You know, and I just realized how quickly we are sojourners. We are passing through this life, and we have a choice. And this is the choice that I believe that God wants to lay before you, is are you going to fix your eyes on Jesus? And are you going to, in whatever situation you are going to focus on what does it look like for the kingdom of God to come into situation? Or are you going to allow the enemy and your circumstances just to roll out as it should be? And the key is really pouring out and asking God for more and just saying, Father, I need more of your Holy Spirit. And so I just want us to stand. I feel like I've shared so much now. but I want to honor your time. I know that I know that God is a God of excellence and honor, and you know, I want to give time for ministry. But as we were driving in here, I just saw dark clouds over some people. And I've just recently come through a time of hopelessness. Come through a time where I felt God had forgotten. And this is only 2-3 weeks ago. So I want to say, no matter where you are in your journey with God, He will always be pursuing our hearts. He will always be pursuing the desire of our hearts to love Him and to give Him everything inside of us. And there are people that are here today that you need to surrender. You need to let go of control, because it is very difficult to fix your eyes on Jesus with what you've faced in your life. But I can tell you now that God is going to turn things for you today for the good. He says, I will work all things for the good of those who love Him, love me, and are called according to my purpose. That's not some things. That's all things. And I stand here today as a married woman with 2 children, by the grace of God. The fact that I was a virgin when I got married, the fact that I've not had an affair, is God. My mother and my grandmother had affairs. It was the assignment that was on my life. In this week, the Lord showed me that Caleb we need to call him Caleb, because it's prophetic for this generation, for someone that is willing to enter into the inheritance that God has for us. Someone that will not be intimidated by whatever you are facing, but it requires purity. I felt God saying that there's an assignment on Caleb already for his purity, his sexual purity. How faithful is God? My child's not even born yet. And He comes, the Holy Spirit points towards Jesus in a situation. And I feel like some of you today, you feel like you've got earmuffs on. You can't hear the voice of God. You're almost confused around whether God speaks or not. He wants to bring clarity today. He wants to come and lift veils of disappointment and fear that are hanging over you. But I also want to say that there are people here that God has appointed into positions of leadership. And you are so fearful of man, or you are fearful that you're not going to have what it takes for that. Or God has placed a dream inside of you to see something come to pass for the kingdom, and you're waiting for the resources. And God is saying, I want you to move. I want you to start taking a step of faith and boldness, and I will start giving you everything that you need. So as we sing that last song, our beautiful worship leader, I want, if there's anything that I've shared now that you just feel you need breakthrough, you realize, God, I want to start moving in the more. I want to start seeing the power of God manifest in my situation. And it's going to be uncomfortable. I'm telling you now, God is going to start taking you into the unknown. But you do not fear the one you are intimate with. And there are some of you here that calling out to God in the midst of a situation requires vulnerability. It requires getting in touch with your emotions and how you actually feel about something. And you've in your past in relationships been hurt because you've shared your heart with someone and they either haven't received it or they've rejected. They've said it, your voice doesn't count. But God is saying today, your voice counts. Today I want to heal, I want to teach you how to communicate with me in the innermost parts of your heart. Okay. There are moments, there's an anointing, and we've been praying this week. I really believe there's an anointing of God releasing and opening doors today. But it's going to be to the degree to which you are willing, like that woman of the flow of blood, to stretch out your hand and say, I need an encounter with Jesus today. And so maybe there's a lot of words that I've shared now, a lot of things that I felt God saying, but maybe you just really need the touch of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel dry. You feel, you know, I can't overflow, Lauren, because I'm so empty myself. I'm so in need. God wants to touch you today to overflow. He doesn't want to just come and meet a need. He wants you to overflow. And I feel it's specific for this church. I really believe there's a call of leadership on Shofar Pretoria, not even just the city, but in the Shofar movement. But God is waiting. He's saying, I have gifts. I have anointing. Some of you desire the prophetic. You desire to move in gifts of healing. But God's saying, come and ask me. Ask and you shall receive. The gifts are available. Okay, so come. Just come forward and we'll pray with you as we share. And so we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do whatever it is that you need to do in our hearts, Father, to take us from the edge of the river, just like it says in Ezekiel, where we were ankle deep. And then we move in and then we knee deep. And God, you're saying, come and throw yourself in the midst of the river. Come and lose yourself inside of me. Come and allow me to take your story and bring it into a place of glory. Let me transform whatever the enemy has stolen into something that is good. Father, that river is just the flow of your Spirit. And so even as you come forward, I want you to start talking to God. I want you to start expressing the desire to see him like Moses did. Okay, and we can just carry on worshiping and then we're going to pray for the people.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.